A servant of God is committed to the other, to the unbelieving. I'm making that claim from this pulpit. Do you agree? Well, the Apostle Paul's case, it happens to be the Jewish nation, his own people who are not yet believers. So Paul, the saved man, doesn't just focus on the betterment of the situation of gathered believing church. He's not just saying, hey, here's how to be the church. Now that we're all saved, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build a lot of buildings. We're going to create a system of schools, and we're going to go, and we're going to, okay? That's not what he is focused on. It does happen. It is a result of what Paul's doing. He is equipping believers. Believers organize themselves. Believers go and serve. He is doing that. But it's as a consequence of striving toward the goal of reaching others who don't know yet. That's why we're here. Not because I have a particular gift in evangelism and boy, Fraser harps on evangelism from the pulpit. That's not it. You have the mission of this church on your bulletin. You come in every week and it's written on the front of it. When you come to this church, you're subscribing to that mission. And it is the mission of God. It's the great commission of Jesus Christ for every believer. That's what we do. That's what you do, believer. Reaching others. God gave gifts that build up the church because these lost souls are going to make beautiful believers when they come. And when believers come, they are to be folded in, welcome, and the new focus of the people who used to be there before them. So when you come in, do you sit near who you know? And do you talk about what you care about? And everyone who comes, have you been folded in, welcomed, encouraged, and incorporated into the body of Christ? That's got to happen. I'm not just making it up. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this. He says in verse 11 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, which is just a little bit to the right if you wanted to read it, Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. God gives gifts at work in the church to build up the church for the building up of the body of Christ. So what builds up the body of Christ? If you are stronger, better, faster? Or is it the growth of the kingdom of God by every not yet believer who comes to believe and then grows into a part of it? And connecting is made strong and then goes and tells someone else and is made strong. I'm proposing to you that that's what it is. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, together believing, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature adulthood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're called to maturity. We're called to not just behave ourselves, to become Christ-like, and to live it as you live so that Christ is being made known as you live. Because we got our big boy pants on now. And we're going to go. And we don't need our runny noses wiped anymore. And we don't need for someone to chew up the big bits for us so that we can digest it, right? Or to cut it for us. But mature and living it. So that we may no longer be children, it says in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Do you read books about Christianity or do you read the Bible to learn how to measure what the books about Christianity are saying? Publishers don't check the Christian credentials of people that they publish books for. There are people publishing books that are mistaken doctrine that can lead you astray. Can you measure doctrine by your knowledge of the Word of God when you're reading that book? I'm not saying that Christian books are bad news. Only half of them are bad news, right? If you walk into the wrong shop, you can be a Christadelphian. But they have crosses, and there's a dove, and these books say Jesus all over them. But can you measure? Do you know? that we may no longer be children, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. Are you a properly working part of the body of Christ? Have you got your part to play in the body? If your spleen stops working right now, how are you going to fare in your body? If the body of Christ has a body part that isn't working properly right now, how is the body of Christ? You know, you can get along with a limp, can't you? I mean, a limp is just accommodating a limp, and then, but you still get there. But you know, one limp leads to another bit getting put out of joint. And so it's, you know, the body of Christ at work. When it's working properly, let me just, I'll read it again, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, rather, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when the body's working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So everyone coming and everyone being led by the Holy Spirit and unified in everything we understand about God and in our service of Him makes the body grow. Okay? All right. God calls the church to use our gifts, to organize ourselves with the goal of unity of the faith and of the knowledge of God, which is not merely knowing that there is a God, but knowing who He is. What is He like? What God likes and doesn't like, with the goal of growing the body of Christ.